Praise the Lord. While we are still standing without taking much of the time, let's open our Bible to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 34. Amen. And the Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Our most precious Father in heaven, we thank you. We give all glory and honor unto you. We thank you for another wonderful privilege and opportunity to hear your word. I pray, O Lord, that you speak to your people, that will cause them to have an understanding of what I'm about to say now. Put your words in my mouth in the name of Jesus. For I pray, O Lord, that at the end of this little exhortation, you will cause a revival in our midst. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. For in Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray. Be seated. Amen. It's very important that we are always in the house of the Lord. It's the best place to be. And this beginning of the year, we have entered the consecration period of this empowerment. And many of us have been empowered. And those who are remaining, before the remaining days of this program, the Lord will empower you too in the name of Jesus. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. When you look at this verse alone, this verse of the scripture is loaded. There are three topics inside this verse. One is awake to righteousness. Another is sin not. The third one there is some have not the knowledge of God. Three in one. But I'm going to compress what I'm about to say. Throughout the Lord helping us, many of us will be empowered. I mean, in this night program, this evening program, I say you shall be empowered. If you are a person I'm talking to, can I hear your amen very loud? The louder your amen, the bigger your testimony. Now he said, awake to righteousness. And awake to righteousness is an awake to godliness. And awake to righteousness is an awake to godly character, to godly lifestyle, God kind of life. Awake to righteousness. Brother, it's not the time to joke with your internal destination. This is not the time for you to play hanky-panky with your salvation. This is not the time for you to play game with your salvation. It's a time to be awakened from slumbering. It's a time for you to awake from sleeping. It's a time for you to be serious-minded about the things of God. It's a time for you to awake to holiness. It's a time for you to awake to God kind of lifestyle. Does your life look like that of God? Can somebody look at you and say mistakenly, brother, do you know I see Sister Jesus on the road? Do you know I meet Brother Jesus on the way? that after somebody having a dealing with you in a transaction or business, and they can say of the truth, I met Jesus today. He said, honey, do you know today I transact with Jesus? I meet Jesus himself. Do you know why? Because you look like Jesus. You should talk like Jesus. You should behave like Jesus. You should discuss like Jesus. It's a time to awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness and see not. One of the reasons why we must be awakening to righteousness, because righteousness is such a nation. Righteousness is such a nation. But sin is a reproach to any nation and to any people. Awake to it have dwelled long enough in that sinful nature. He has dwelled long enough in that ungodly character. He has dwelled long enough in that unrighteous behavior. It's a time to awake to righteousness and sin not. Righteousness is simply having a right standing with God. You have a right standing with God. When we talk about righteousness, then we're talking about being total obedient to God's word. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, brother, sister, be total obedient to God's word. Be total submissive to God's word. But many of us are stubborn. Very, very stubborn. We argue with God. We argue with the word of God. We argue with the voice of God. Inasmuch as that thing does not suit us, you begin to argue about it just to free your conscience. But let me let you know, the word of God stands sure. The word of God is infallible. Every other thing might fail, but God's word does not fail. What he says he will do, that he will start in it. Because God is not a man that he should lie. Now the Son of Man that he should repent. What he says he will do, he will do it. Awake to godly lifestyle. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. Awake to righteousness. Total obedience to God's word. Noah was total obedient to God's word. Genesis. Noah was total obedient to God's word. Genesis chapter 7 verse 5. Genesis 7 verse 5. Praise God. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. There is no reservation. And Noah did according all that the Lord commanded him. Praise God, somebody. Go to verse 1. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Obedient to God's word. Total obedience, no reservation. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Praise God. He said, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, move with fear, prepare an ark to the saving of the house by which he commanded the word and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Because he totally obeyed God's word. What about you? Are you still obedient to God's word? Are you still obeying the voice of the Lord. The other day, the Lord spoke to you. I said, sister, don't wear that dress. I ignore the voice of the Lord because you like that dress. And the voice of the Lord was speaking to you because it is short. I know you bought it costly, but because it is short, don't wear it. You are my daughter. You are my daughter. You ignored the voice of God and went ahead and wear that cloth. The other day, the Lord spoke to you to ask your husband for forgiveness. He says, honey, I'm sorry. But because he has money more than your husband, you want your husband to come and bow for you. Instead of you saying, honey, I'm sorry. He snub the voice of the Lord speaking to you. He snub the voice of God speaking to you. Brother, what about you? How many times have the Lord warned you? How many times have the Lord warned you from going to those places that you're not supposed to be? And yet, because of worldly pleasure, you snub the voice of God. You disobeyed the voice of God. You ignored the voice of God. Noah obeyed the voice of God. How many times have the Lord warned you? I said, brother, stop telling lies. And up till now, you cook lies, black and white. How many times have the Lord warned you? Say, brother, my soul, don't set that trap for that brother. Because of what you want to achieve, you are setting trap. You are setting trap for one another. Have you obeyed the voice of God? How many times have the Lord warned you to go and confess you are the reason why that person is in the prison? Because he did an evil witness. And up till now, you have not. Up till now, you have not. And the Lord is speaking to your conscience. And I'm speaking to somebody's conscience here. And I'm speaking to somebody's conscience here. It's a time to awake. It's a time to awake. Noah obeyed the voice of God. What about you? Are you still obeying God's voice? Since the other day, the Lord wants you. I said, stop putting attachment on your hair. But because of what you like, the Bible says, those that will follow after Jesus, those that will come to Jesus, they must deny themselves. You have refused to deny yourself. And you are putting on attachment. How many times have the Lord warned you? And said, stop wearing trousers while you are going to work. And yet, up till now, you are still wearing trousers as a lady, as a mother. Are you obeying the voice of the Lord? And you want to see go to heaven? You want to see be in heaven with us? You have to obey the voice of God. You have to obey the voice of God. The Lord has warned you several times to obey him, and yet you snub him. Don't lie that you are going to church, and the Lord warns you. Say, this dress is not good for you. I refuse. Why you are in the church and not encourage you, and your nakedness was open. Why? Because the Lord, you remember God warns you not to wear that cloth. And you dress like that, you better repent. It's a time of awakening. You have to awake this year, 2025, to obey the voice of God. To obey the voice of God. The songwriter says, when we walk with the Lord, in the light of his word, what a glory he shed on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who we trust and obey. Sister, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Are you ready to trust in the Lord and obey him? The problem we have is that we like serving God, but we don't love God. The problem some of the Gentiles have is that we like the things of God, but want to serve God in our iniquity. We want to serve God while we are still smoking. Worship God, praise the Lord, sing while we are still in iniquity. We want to serve God even with nakedness. That's why when you lead the prayer point, now, you see, if you see those who wear pant trousers, now they go pray highest. Fire, 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 fire. What are you firing? Even the person that is dressed naked, with breasts open, everywhere open, last open. Now they go start anyone that says that we don't see tomorrow. Fire. No. No, you are receiving the empowerment now. This is empowerment. Oh, it don't when you come, we say, oh, you receive it by my left hand side, by my right hand side. No. What you are receiving is empowerment. What you are receiving now is empowerment. Yes. Because the knowledge of what you, the knowledge you have is the empowerment you have over Satan. That time you will understand that you cannot bind and cast out Satan when you are already captive. When you're already in devil domain, eating and dining with the devil, and you want to bind the devil. You are receiving empowerment, yo. So when you now have the knowledge that you need to be born again, sanctified, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then you can face the devil and challenge the devil. But not to bind the devil in iniquity. You are fornicating, you want to bind the devil. You're already the devil's property now. God, oh, like the sons of Sceva, the God that Paul called. Yeah, God knows Paul. What about you? Be careful. You are receiving empowerment too. You have been receiving it since the beginning of this program. And today you are receiving another one. Praise God, somebody. Noah was totally obedient to God's word. Number two, Noah, in his generation, was perfect. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Noah was perfect. Despite the corruption that was in his days. And the Bible says, as it were in the days of Noah, so will it be now. So if in the days of Noah was perfect, then now you are also expected to be perfect. These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Do you see? Noah was perfect in his generation. No wonder Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. What Apostle Paul say? Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And he says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. Praise God, somebody. Apostle Paul, go to verse 12. Go to verse 12. Go to verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. Either we are already perfect. He said, no. But I follow after perfection. I follow after perfection. Noah. Paul was saying, I was still following after perfection. I was still walking towards perfection. So you ought to walk towards perfection. If Noah was perfect in his generation, you are expected to be perfect even in your own generation now. Because the evil that is happening now, even in his own time, that those evil happens. That's why God wiped away that generation. Judgment is coming upon this world. So you have no excuse to give. And that means the last thing there, the Bible says, and Noah walked with God in that perverse generation. In that generation that God condemned, Noah walked with God. So you are expected to walk with God. My question is, are you still walking with God or walking for God? Which one are you? When you're walking with God, that's having a right standing with God. When God put leg, you put. When God move again, you move. When God stop, he stop. You will not add nor plus. You will not add nor minus. You only stop where God stop. Brother, are you still walking with God? No, I walk with God. You ought to walk with God also. If the same heaven I'm going that you are going, in the same heaven Apostle Paul preach that you are preaching, you ought to walk with God. Don't add. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No, walk with God. So you are expected to walk with the Lord. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Praise God, somebody. And sin not. When we look at that verse again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, he said, awake to righteousness and sin not. Don't enjoy sin. A Christian does not enjoy sin. When a Christian falls into sin, you see that Christian will not be comfortable again. He can't even pray again. He will be fasting and praying, crying unto God, asking God for mercy. Say, Father, have mercy upon me. He be praying. Sometimes it takes him 1 month to recover. That's a genuine Christian. But that thing is praying and asking God for mercy. Another person is enjoying it. Another person is seeing it as a pleasure. Praise God, somebody. Praise God, somebody. That's the thing you ought to understand. And sin not. Number 3. We look at there is some have not the knowledge of God. Some have not the knowledge of God. There is a reason. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Apostle Paul was speaking to the Corinthian church. He said they need to be ashamed of themselves that so many of them have not the knowledge of God. So many of them are compromising their faith. There was a lot of compromise among them. There was a lot of things that you are not right among them. And that's what Apostle Paul said. Some of you have not the knowledge of God. But what about you? If you truly have the knowledge of God, why will you be backbiting against one another? If truly you have the knowledge of God, why will you be backbiting, gossiping against one another? If truly you have the knowledge, you know, you have the knowledge of God. If truly you know this God that is a holy God, why are you still fighting against one another? Why are you keeping your brother in mind? Why have you refused to forgive? Why have you refused to forgive that your brother, forgive that your sister? You truly have the knowledge of God. The evidence that you don't have the knowledge of God. If you have the knowledge of God, you will forgive. You don't have anything in mind against anybody. You will live a life of free, of no offense. You truly have the knowledge of God. That is what Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, some of you have not the knowledge of God. Praise God, somebody. It is important that we have this knowledge of God. Apostle Paul said that I may know him. I want to know this God. I want to know this God. I want to know the power of his resurrection, plus the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know you more. I want to know you more and more.
Oh, I want to know you more. I want to know you more and more. I want to know you more. I want to know you more and more. I want to know you more. I want to know you more and more.
Some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You know what happens among them? So we are saying there is no resurrection. So what they are saying, if there is a resurrection, which body will they come up with? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, read verse 35. There some have not the knowledge of God. I speak it to your shame. 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come up with? That is it. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not speaking except it died. How will you be asking which body will they come up with? That's what the Paul wrote to them. I said, some of you have not the knowledge of God. That's why you can ask such foolish questions. Verse 12 of the same chapter. Verse 12. Some have not the knowledge of God, and you are asking which body will the dead come up with? Verse 12, how is Christ being preached that he rose from the dead? How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Continue. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. If Christ did not risen, it means we are false witnesses. We are witnessing for God in vain. We are false witnesses. But I know that Christ resurrected. Praise God, somebody. Then we are false witnesses because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Praise God, somebody. Apostle Paul was confidently speaking that he knew that Christ risen. He knew that Christ resurrected. And we are sure. That is why we have gathered here. And we are sure. That's why we are here. That's why we are fellowshipping together. Because we knew that our Redeemer lived. He is not here. The angels, when they went to the grave, and he said, the angel met them and said, no, he is not here. He had risen. Our Lord had risen. It's no more there. Verse 32 of the same chapter. Verse 32. Yes. If after the manner of man, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If I have fought at Ephesus with beasts and wild animals, with all the things I have done in Ephesus, with all the things I have done because of this, the preaching of the cross, if Christ do not rise, what gain do I have? If after all I'm doing at the end, it is discovered that Christ did not rise, what advantage is it to me? Praise God, somebody. Verse 29. Verse 29. Praise God. Else, what shall they do if Christ did not rise? What shall they do which are baptized for the dead? Praise God, somebody. If the dead rise not at all, why are they done then baptized for the dead? Praise God, somebody. That's what Apostle Paul says. If all I did in Ephesus, fighting with white animals, with all the trials and temptations and all the troubles I went through because of the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Empowerment. You need to be empowered with the knowledge of knowing who God is. And of the Jews, I received 5 times, received I 40 stripes, save one, because of the cross. The flock, Apostle Paul, 40 times, stripes of Cain, because of the cross. Yes? Continue to verse 25. Twice was I beaten with rod. These are the things he went through. He said, fighting with wild animals and bees at Ephesus. Try, what I beat you with rod. How many times have they beat you with rod because you preach the gospel? Yeah, you are receiving bread and butter Christianity. Our brethren in the north and those in the east, India, we tell you what they are going through. The north smuggled Bible to India in his stockings, pocket Bible. Put it inside his stockings. And went to India to preach. But here they give you freely at the platter of gold for you to come out evangelizing a problem. Bring out your car for evangelizing a problem. Support those that are going to evangelism with your money, a problem. But look at your nose, small gold Bible. Put it inside the stockings, cover it. Pocket Bible, or they catch you with the Bible, you are gone. But here, you are freely carrying 7 Bibles only you. You go and preach it, no problem. Wahala. Enter bus, you no go preach. Street, you no go preach. Come for evangelism, you no go come. Support those that are going, no. Which Christianity are you? Which Christian are you, sir? A good for nothing Christian. Good for nothing. Praise God, somebody. Is this what Apostle Paul went to say? Try what I beat you with rod, not cane, rod. With rod, yes, 25. With rod, once was I stoned, tried I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in deep. Verse 26. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers. Sometimes I fall in the midst of robbers because of the gospel. You go, what have you suffered for the cross? Ordinary to wear better cloth, no problem. You want to show your breast. You want your life to be shown. You want your tummy to be shown. You want to put eyebrow. Wiper. You want to look like others. And we're letting others. Huh? And they say, I put a thing for your eye. Any talker than I no go grieve. Any talker that in a dusty place, well, you regret. And when sometimes you go and scrape this one, and when you go to the mirror, look at yourself, you look like monkey, you now go and put that pencil. You better repent. I know I'm talking to somebody here. And work to righteousness, to godly living. Behave like a Christian, look like a Christian, dress like a Christian. Whether you're in the church or at work, know that when you're going to work, you dress the way you like. When you're coming to church, you dress like angel. Michael and Angel, which Angel? That when they see you, they call you Sister Holy Ghost. But inside of you, you are worse than the devil. Wallahi. The Lord is speaking to somebody here. I know the Lord is talking to somebody here. It's time to awake. That's what Apostle Paul went through. And that's why Apostle Paul confidently was writing to the Corinthian church. There is a lot of compromise among you. That some of them we are taking their brethren to the court, the outside court, to police. That way, you have to summon them and say, please, awake to righteousness. But when you live a godly lifestyle, there'll be no problem. There'll be no time to go to police station. It's time to awake to godly living. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Amen. He said, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentile. Brother, if you know what the sin of fornication costs, Christians all over the globe, they will run away from fornication. I remember when I repented new. As a young child of God, we are about four of us. We repented new. We are very on fire for God. With that zeal, we are hosting crusade every year. Citywide crusade. Citywide. Our first crusade was host. We repented 1996. And 1999, we hold our first citywide crusade. Sponsored with our money. But we believe that as a child of God, you don't need to go and beg for money for you to go to the crusade. In those days, some of us, the interpreter, used to interpret for us in Igbo language, fall apart with a woman. The one walked to me and said, one day you will fall. There was one sister called Udoka. Udoka walked to me and said, one day you will fall to my priest. I said, me fall? Ah. I wasted your time. So me, I carried my Bible and went inside the bush. With the zeal I have that time, I prayed a prayer. I said, God, any day I will sleep with a woman, let me die on top of that woman. Fear came upon me. So I'm bold to stay with 100 women naked and I will not, nothing will happen. Do you know why? That prayer I prayed. That was out of zeal. As that was not enough, I get angry again. I carried my Bible and went into the bush, at the center of the bush. You know, in those days, I'll be preaching to the air, ordinary bush, inside the bush. That way I go and do my practice in those days. When I was in secondary school. Yes, I'll be talking to the bush. Nobody there. After that, I say, God, any day I will sleep with any woman that is not my wife, let my prick die. Hey! That become another fire. So that give me boldness that I know that nothing is happening. So whenever I talk confidently because I know nothing mega. Because I've taken an oath that I know the God I serve does not lie. That's why. See, if you know what fornication costs, you will not do it. When a woman that has HIV meet with a man that have gonorrhea, both of them will contact gonorrhea plus HIV will give you HIV gonorrhea. Am I saying something? Now, when a woman that have hardship and bad luck from his lineage meet with a man that have disappointment and failure, they also have hardship and bad luck plus disappointment and failure. Two of them will share it together. A lady came and was asking her, see, you need to stop fornication. He said, what? I said, yes, I'll tell you the truth. That was in those days in my former church, my early day Christianity. And then she counted 49 men that ever sleep with her. 49. I think I've shared 49 problems. So you need to repent and give your life to Christ. That's the only thing you can be justified. Praise God, somebody. Do you see? That's why if you know this, it's a secret. See, that's why so many of us, so many people, you see, that after they have met with Nkechi or Bosse in their business, they begin to have set back. They say, since I married Bosse, not did they move again for me? Or they will say, I don't be him. Since I meet with Shehu, everything, my container, the sesame, they do this. Now the thing, I ain't share together. So if you know this secret, as you walk physically, so you walk spiritually, you will run away from. And if you look at it, That day what is raining outside here. If you want to sell your market now, where? If now this cup you want to sell, if you use naked woman, well, everybody could go watch them. Anything you want to sell and you want it to move now, bring naked women to advertise this. It go, you go sell where? You go sell. Immorality has become the order of the day. Praise God, somebody. Go to verse 6. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Amen, somebody. He said, your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little living at the whole. A little living at the whole. You need to awake to righteousness. You need to awake to righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 15. Amen. He said, know ye not that your body are the members of Christ? So I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot. He said, God forbid. He said, God forbid. Yes? What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, says he, shall be. You have shared it together. Amen, somebody. Verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one. We are baptized into Christ with one spirit. Amen, somebody. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Amen, somebody. You are receiving empowerment, you. This is the deliverance. It's an empowerment program. It is the knowledge of what you know that will empower you. Then you will not know your stand. You will know that the Bible says the prayer of a sinner is an abomination before God. So you want to stand at right with God so that you can confront the enemy and they will give way. Amen, somebody. Yes, verse 17. Okay, verse 16. Go back to 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Verse 17. But if any man defies the temple of God, him shall God. Do you see? Who will destroy the works of that person's hands? So sometimes you are accusing the devil. The devil, thunder, fire you. Every foundational problem. Holy Ghost! You are accusing your foundation when you are the cause of the problem. You are defiling God's temple and God is dealing with you. Instead of you to repent, you are there. Holy Ghost fire. Every foundational problem, foundational cause, foundational this. When you are the cause of the problem. This is the empowerment program. This is the knowledge you ought to have so that you can be empowered to face the task that is ahead of us year 2025. Amen, somebody. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 6. Your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little living at the old lump? Purge out therefore the old living. Tell your neighbor, purge out therefore the old living. The old lifestyle you carry from year 2024. This is year 2025. Let there be a new living. Because as I'm speaking to you now, there will be a Holy Ghost purging. I said there will be a Holy Ghost. There will be a Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is going to remove those things that ought not to be in your life and place the things that ought to be. Because you cannot put a new wine into an old bottle. Lie. The old bottle must be cleansed for the new wine to enter. Amen, somebody. Yes, we are still reading. So put out therefore the old living, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unliving. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Yes? Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old living, neither with the living of malice and wickedness and unforgiveness. Some of you, are still keeping malice with one another. You are still keeping malice, and we are here now. Small time, we're going to the Lord's table. You are still somebody you are not in Jesus with. You are still angry with somebody and you refuse to forgive. More than 1 week, more than 1 month now, more than 2 months. You have refused to forgive. Then my question is, why are you here? Then why are you here? Why are you fasting? A lady came for counseling in those days. He came, and while we are talking, she said, she went to morning crying. I said, you went to morning crying? Wonderful. Where are you living? She's living with a boyfriend. And she went to morning cry. Kai. I said, how long have you been doing this morning cry? Say, for the past 2 years. How long have you been living with the boy? He said, for the past 2 years. Oh, you have been living with the boy. So after when I finished fornication, then they carry a megaphone. Where are you going? I'm going to cry. Who do you this? Who do all this? See, you are receiving empowerment, you. If that lady, after speaking to her that day, she said, you better will carry my things and look for without to go back to village. And that will be better for you. But do you know, she received empowerment that day because she hears something. Amen, somebody. Yes, she hears something. It is what you are hearing now is what you are empowering for. When you hear empowerment, it is this thing you are hearing now that it will empower you to carry it through out this year. Amen, somebody. He said, not with the living of unforgiveness. If truly you have the knowledge of God, you will forgive. Do you know why? Because if you have the knowledge of God, you will know that the Bible says, if you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. And once you know this, you quickly forgive because you want God to forgive you. Do you see? Because you don't have the knowledge of God, that if you don't forgive, God will not forgive you, then that is why you are still keeping that thing in your heart. At the moment you are still keeping it in your heart, you are holding yourself. Do you understand me? Do you believe me? You are holding yourself, brother, come. Do you see? Bring that chair for him. See as he's holding himself now. Promotions come. I see that. I sit on top of him. Don't stand though. I'm not asking you to stand. So please come and take $1 million. It's holding him. Oh. I stand in. Come and take. Why? Why can't you stand, brother?
He's holding me down.
No, you are the one holding him. So you need to forgive him. You need to forgive already so that this man will go out of your heart. You are the one holding yourself. God wants to bless you. If you don't forgive, you are holding yourself. Father, I'll be praying for one prayer point. Since January till now, you are the one holding. God is still looking at you. It's in the Bible. If you don't forgive, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. And God's word is infallible. All men will become liars. Only God is a true God. Amen, somebody. If you don't forgive, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. I read this. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Let's round off from there. Mark 11, 25. Yes. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass. Yes. But if ye do not forgive. Let's read together. But if ye do not forgive. Bow down your head. In the cross, in the cross,
be my glory.
Name of prayed. If you've been blessed, if you've been empowered, can you put your hands together for the Lord? Just before we come to the Lord's table, you know, yesterday when Brother Namdi was talking, one of his testimonies is that his stomach is flat. So I said it is wise for us to extend. So let's not rush so that the fast can enter the body very well. So that those of us that have big stomach and we want our stomachs to go down, it can take effect. Thank you so much, Brother Ifeanyi. This year, let me tell you what the Lord is saying this year. Matthew chapter 18, verse 7. Because there's something he said that I believe God will use to empower us. This is what God is saying will happen. Woe unto the world because of what? Offenses. For it must needs be that offenses will come. So forget about it. This year, people will offend you. Things will happen that will make you get offended. Have it settled at your mind. But the same God lets us know, he's telling us from Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, the same scripture. Many people don't know. You are talking about righteousness, and that's the truth. Righteousness is power. Part of righteousness is forgiveness. This is what God is telling us. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord Jesus, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? The seven times, what did the Lord Jesus say? Verse 22. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until when? 70 times seven. That's how many? 70 times seven is how many? 490 in a day. Then Jesus said unto him, verse 23, please, you are reading. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which had owed him 10,000 talents. Let's say that's 10 billion naira. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, for you to know how great his debt is, and all that he had, and payments to be made. The servant then fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. The truth is, he can't pay all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 naira. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, okay, no, let's say 100,000 naira. Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me now, I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servants, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Then what did the Lord Jesus say? So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Brother and sister, part of the empowerment we need this year is the empowerment of forgiveness. We sing that, where are they? They are underneath in the sea of God's forgetfulness. But God can bring you back. God can call back your sin to remembrance if you choose not to forgive. And it's wise. We saw what Jesus said. He said, woe unto the world. Offenses will definitely come. Whether intentionally or unintentionally, people will wrong you. That's the truth. So if you want to walk in power this year, have a heart of forgiveness. And there are some forgiveness that you don't even go and tell the person, you wronged me, but I forgive you. There are some that for your own peace, you won't, the person, because the person might not even be conscious of the offense that the person committed. The person might not be conscious. One day, okay, I wish you were here. I think it's Tamarachi. One day, in daddy's office, I called her aside. I said, you offended me. See what you do. See what you do when we do altar. Okay, I first met you at the pulpit because I misunderstood an action. Unknown to me, what I was thinking was not what she was doing. You are witness. I called you aside. This was last 2 years or so. It's been a while. I just want to bring it up for a lesson. Prophecy is witness to what I'm saying. So when I confronted her with it, that CEO, I felt hurt by what you did. The action that me, I thought she did was not what she was doing. She's like, no, this is not this. Can you see? If I'd carried that in my mind, like Gio, we call him Gio, but I find like he just demonstrated now, I would have been weighed down by shadow. Because she is free. She does not even know she has wronged me. But at least I had courage to even talk to her. There are some people that you are holding some people in their hearts. They're not even aware that you're holding them. So you're holding yourself. When a brother offends you, what did the Lord Jesus say? The same Matthew 18. This is what the Bible says. Verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 15. It says, moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee. Matthew 18, verse 15, please. Please just bear with the IT. This is the first thing you should do. He says, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, you have gained your brother. Verse 16. If he will not hear thee, he says, go and take with you one or two more persons, that in the mouth of two or three, let every word be established. Verse 17. If he will not even hear thee, what should you do? Tell it unto the church. Then if it is when he will not hear the church, that he say you can make him like a heathen and a publican. But you have not even told your brother. Not to talk of telling one or two persons. Then not to talk of telling the church. But you're already having the brother or the sister in your heart. Allowing the spirit of unforgiveness to hold you bound. So you see, God is reprogramming our mind. Offenses will come. You too. Do you know there's something that the wise man said? I think it's Ecclesiastes 10. He says, don't take heed to every word. Oh, let's read that scripture. Let me get it. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, if I'm not mistaken, because it's a very, very, very interesting scripture that might set somebody free. Is it Ecclesiastes 10? Don't take heed to every word that is spoken, lest you hear your servant curse you. He said, you too, in your own hearts, you know that you too, you have cursed other people. That's how the scripture puts it. It's not Ecclesiastes 10. I can't get it now. He says, don't take heed to every word. Proverb Benjamin. Proverb Sidney said, your head is like coconut. Then Proverb Benjamin will start getting angry. You didn't even hear it directly from Proverb Sidney. You heard it from a newscaster. You heard it from a third party. Then you start getting angry. Yes, anger is a natural defense. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Now, this is where sin comes in. Have you gone to meet him that this is what I heard you say about me? What if he didn't say it? And what if he said it and he said it jokingly? Or what if he didn't say it that way? The words were twisted. But many of us go and we continue with unforgiveness. That's why we now start holding prophecy in his heart that this is what you said, this is what you said, this is what you said because of that. Brethren, if you will walk in power this year, have a forgiving heart. Just have it settled in your mind that offense, people will offend you. We human beings, we are not sufficient in ourselves. We are not perfect. Are you perfect? Do you know some people are unnecessarily angry and bitter to some people just because you saw me and you did not smile? That sister is frowning her face too much and they will start hating you. Do you know whether the sister is in pains? Do you know what she's going or what is going through her mind? But you have concluded, and because of that, no. If we will allow the power of God to walk through us this year, no, humans are not perfect. So just have it settled, whether intentionally or unintentionally, offenses will come. But you, to save yourself, have the spirit of forgiveness. Have the spirit of forgiveness. Even in cracking jokes, some people can get offended. And so if you crack a joke and somebody is offended with you, you don't go and say, no big joke, we just play now, we just play. Have the spirit of forgiveness. God's power will only walk through us when we have forgiving spirit. The scripture you quoted in Mark 11:25, let's read it again. Many people don't know how powerful it is. Mark 11 verse 25. When you stand praying, what did he say? Forgive. If you have anything against any, why? That your Father which is in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Because if you do not forgive, God will not forgive you. And if he does not forgive your trespasses, how will your prayers ascend? So, man of God, I've been praying for many years. I've been praying over this thing. If I can see clearly unforgiveness in you, then I can tell you the reason why your prayer is not being answered. So sometimes it's not that there is delay. The prophet might tell you the blessing that is coming your way. I'm seeing this, I'm seeing that. But you are saying, why has it not manifested? If there is unforgiveness in you, you have hindered yourself. Brethren, let's not allow unforgiveness. The topic is awake to righteousness. Let's not allow unforgiveness hinder us this year. There are things that you should not take to heart. See, even if the person offends you, have a forgiving spirit. Are you listening to me, brethren? Even if the person, just be quick to forgive. The Bible says it in James chapter 1, verse 17. James 1, 17. Is it 1, 17? It says, be quick to hear. Be quick to... Verse 19, the same James 1. Sorry, I didn't write it down. Just coming to me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and what? Slow to rot. He says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It has happened to me several times. When I start thinking back on the reason I was angry, I now start wondering, come, waiting they make me vex. Me, I've experienced it several times. So at that moment, you are justifying it. But as time passes, you now be wondering, why were you angry to this level? Even if you get angry, don't say no. Please, Let's allow the spirit of forgiveness. People will offend you. He says, woe to the world. Offenses will come. Offenses will come. Yes, because imagine somebody treating you like trash. You have the right to get angry. Is that not right? But for your peace, forgive. In fact, this year there are some things you should overlook. There are some things you should overlook. Before the service started, the brother was telling me that another person was looking for his trouble. I was just laughing. And that he intentionally did not respond. That's very good. There are things you should overlook this year. For your peace. For your peace. Because Satan will anoint people to offend you. And whether Satan anoints people or not, it is bound to happen. Offenses will come. Okay, how will you not get angry? Let's say you're in a feast. When they started sharing the drink, at the time it got to your point, you finished. They started the food. They started with the person after you. When they got to your point, you finished. When they started with toothpick, they started with you. What will you do? You get angry now. But there are a lot of walk away we should do this year. There are a lot of walking away. I'll just walk away. There are a lot of walking away we should do. Don't ever hold anybody in your heart this year. It will cause you depression. Because when you are carrying a weight, it weighs you down. Sometimes, when you are holding people in your heart, it makes your spirit man unbalanced. So if you are such a person that receives inspirations, your mood will be bad. Some of us, the reasons why you don't dream and understand again is because of the people you have accumulated in your mind. Because even when the angel comes and is giving you a message, it will be upside down. Allow forgiveness. Allow forgiveness. They saw me praying there and they now came and they were now sweeping. They didn't even tell me to go. Please, you are justified. Forgive. Whether the person acknowledges their mistakes or not, forgive. For your own good. Because if we count offenses, we will stand. This is why you should forgive. Because you that you are pointing fingers, if God should count your offense, how many can you? Will you stand before him? She spoke this against me, he spoke that against me. Look well. Are you sure you have not directly or indirectly spoken anything in any way against anybody? Whether you are joking or you did not mean it. So there are many reasons why you should forgive. Because it says if you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. And apart from that, what did the Bible say? It says we should be like the Lord Jesus. In 1 Peter 3. It says sin was not found in his mouth. They reviled him, he did not revile back. They smote him, he did not smite back. Brethren, God's power is made manifest in our weaknesses. And part of our weaknesses is that when you are hurt, forgive. And don't forget what our daddy defined forgiveness as. He says, forgive is what? To give God. Let go and give God room. Give God space to act. God is a just judge. He might be patient, doesn't mean that he doesn't judge. If somebody is wronging you intentionally, and it seems as if God has not done anything because you let go, God is giving room for repentance. The time will come when the person persists in it and God's patience runs out. That's when you will know that it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So brethren, this year, let us allow forgiveness. And our brother was talking about righteousness. He says, awake to righteousness. Righteousness is power. Don't forget the story of Achan. Let's quickly read it. Joshua chapter 7 verse 1. God equipped and empowered the Israelites. Every battle they went for, they wouldn't even lose one man. But something happened one day. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in their coasting. For Achan, is Brother Achan or Sister Achan here? Brother Achan? Sister Achan? Okay, they didn't come to church this evening. What did he do? Took of the accosting. And what happened? The anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, see, these people are too small. Let not all the people go up. Let only about 2,000 or 3,000 men go and smite this small country. We have conquered more serious ones. Don't make all the people to labor here, for they are but few. Very few. So there went up leader of the people about 3,000 men. And what did they do? They fled before the men of Ai. Somebody, may you not flee from your enemies this year. But if we follow the footsteps of Achan, we will flee from our enemies. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 34. Let that scripture be enshrined in our hearts. Proverbs 13, 34. It says, righteousness exalteth a nation. Proverbs 13, 34. Proverbs 14, 34. Righteousness exalts a nation. But what? Sin is a reproach to any people. So when our brother is saying, awake to righteousness, God is empowering us. You can't continue in sin and say God's power should come upon you. I always say it. Samson didn't fall when they craped his head. He fell when he decided to start living against God. The fruit was that his head was craped. Because if he was consciously living for God, he would not have joked with the commandment of God that says, don't let anything come on your head. So before he could tell Delilah, hey, nothing has come upon my head, he had fallen. Are we together, brethren? Righteousness is power. Sin hides God from us. And the sin of Achan was that he carried the accosting. How many Christians are carrying accostings in this generation? If we expect God's power to be upon us, what our brother has exhorted us about this evening is the best. Awake to righteousness. The time has come for us to put away many things, many characters, many of the accostings we hold on to. If not, we may flee from our enemies as Achan did. Are we together? If not, we may flee from our enemies like Achan did. You know something happened? Just this last story, 1 Samuel chapter 5. The Israelites were in Shiloh under Eli the priest. 1 Samuel chapter 5 from verse 1. And then everybody was living in sin, beginning from the children of Eli. And Eli was not even restraining his children. Everybody was just living, chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4 from verse 1. Everybody was just living anyhow. And what happened? And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now, Israel went out to the Philistines, against the Philistines to battle. Then they were going to war. And they pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people came into the camp, the elders of Israel said, now, you see, I love the Israelites. They know that whenever anything is happening to them, it's not their enemies, it's God. See, can you hear this statement? Why has the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? They didn't say, why did our enemies smite us? There are two different things. They acknowledge that when they are winning, it is God. When they are losing, it is still God. Why has the Lord smitten us this day? But you see what they did? This is their answer was their mistake. Instead of them to repent and say, okay, it's because of our sins. They said, no, let us go and bring the Ark of the Covenant. You are not following the words in the Ark. You are not obeying the commandment of God. You are going to carry the Ark. They went to carry the Ark of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it comes among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Brother, it is not coming to vigil and attending anointing service that will save you from your enemy this year. It's in living right with God. Let's read on. So the people went to Shiloh that they may bring the Ark of God. If I would read it, I'll say, so the people were coming for vigil and anointing service every day, attending prayer meeting, went to camp, which dwelt between the cherubim, and the two sons of Eli, Ophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. So what happened? And when the Ark of Covenant came into the camp, they shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shouts, they heard the noise that you are making in that prayer meeting and in the camp. They said, what meaneth this noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. They understood that the people are praying. And the Philistines were afraid. And they said, ah, God is coming to the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there had not been such a thing yet before. But did they give up? Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. But did they give up? No. Even if you shout fire and the devil runs away, he still wants to look whether there is righteousness behind that fire. That's what happened. He said, be strong. Quit to yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servant to the Hebrews as they've been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. So you shouted and I was afraid. Like our daddy said about the toothless bulldog. Whoa! You ran away. Then unfortunately, he now did whoa, whoa again. You now saw that he had no teeth. People like us that are not friends with dog, what will you do with that dog? You will beat the hell out of that dog. Let's read on. And the Philistines fought. At first, they were afraid because of your vigil. They were afraid because of your prayer life. But they said, no, we will not run away. They fought. And when they fought, they discovered that all those fire you were shouting was fireless fire. Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter. For there fell of Israel 30,000. Nothing spiritual will profit you if you are not living righteous. So this year, if you have decided that I will pray very well, power must change on this year. If your prayerfulness, your fasting, your giving, your offering and everything is still done, backed up with unrighteousness, it will not be powerful. So if you are going to experience the power of God in year 2025, the foundation is righteousness. And righteousness to us, as the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 verse 16, is in obedience to him. That is what keeps us righteous. So don't think that Satan will be afraid of any fasting and prayer you will do in year 2025. Don't think that he'll be afraid. He said, know ye not that to whom ye yourself servants obey, ye servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So it is your obedience that will lead you to righteousness. Your obedience to his word this year will be your righteousness. So brothers and sisters, what our brother has exhorted us with this night is foundational. Awake to righteousness. Please help me tell the person by your side, awake to righteousness. That's the truth. Righteousness is power. Once righteousness is not there, God turns his back. And when God turns his back, Satan hijacks. But you can read it when you get home. By the time you come to 1 Samuel 7, this time now, Samuel is now a grown man. And Samuel started telling them, it is because you have forsaken the Lord. It's because you have done this. And they repented. Then the Philistines came again. And when Samuel offered a prayer, the Bible says God turned that from heaven and the Philistines were destroyed. That was where they called God Ebenezer, my stone of help, because God came through for them at that point. But before God could become the Ebenezer, they were righteous. So God is calling us back to righteousness this year. We will not live anyhow and expect God to be for us. If God will be for us, it is because we are right standing with him, in right standing with him. You come out of righteousness and God will not stand for you. So brother and sister, be armed with this knowledge this evening that without righteousness, God cannot be for you. But with righteousness, God is on your side. Let's be on our feet and come to the table line by line.